Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Sarah Bodner of Conklin Media, and today we're discussing setting your team up for success through onboarding. Sarah is an SEO and content expert based in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. She's responsible for overseeing the SEO and content developments and creating organic search strategies to drive business growth. Thanks so much for joining us today, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, what motivates or inspires you?
Oh, for me, like, I love solving puzzles and problems. That's just hands down probably one of the most exciting things for me. And that's one of the reasons I just love marketing, especially SEO, so much. I mean,
yeah.
Google's changing their algorithm all the time. It's really, you know, sometimes it makes me want to pull my hair out, but it keeps me on my toes.
Definitely.
And then, yeah, I'm also just very energized by learning new things, which also just lends itself well to the industry.
Yeah, definitely. It's constantly changing. So you're constantly learning, updating yourself, keep staying current. So yeah, sounds like you are the perfect fit to be working in digital marketing.
Right. Oh, sometimes, you know, it's exhausting and frustrating, but I really think, you know, just solving those problems and staying up to date, like, it's motivating. It's sort of like, you know, if you're not learning, then you're falling behind.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. So tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
So I originally never would have guessed that I would be in digital marketing, which I feel like is often the case for a lot of people. But so I actually started by studying political science with like a focus on international affairs. And
oh, wow.
From that, I really thought I was going to be working in like the international nonprofit industry. Mm-hmm. So before this, I worked in Washington, D.C. with a big international nonprofit doing like donor relations and communications work. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up in Cairo, Egypt for a year. And
oh, wow.
So I did a lot of like writing grant proposals, editing work, communication with donors from around the world. And that's actually when I sort of dipped my toes into the world of marketing, because one of my jobs there was they put me in charge of the website, which I had no idea how to manage a website at that point in my career. And it was just this like absolute behemoth of like a WordPress site. So that was, you know, my first introduction to that, like logging into the back end for the first time. I mean, it was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But it was super cool. Like, I loved interviewing people and hearing their stories. We wrote like a lot of blog content on the site, and I just found that really fun. Like, finding the balance between interviewing people and editing their work, so like their tone still came through, but it was, you know, grammatically accurate, broken up into a way where it would be easy for the reader. Making sure we had like the right images and things along with that. And then at that point, like, I just was really curious about people visiting the site, and I did a bunch of research, looked into like Google Analytics, installed it on the website, and like that was just an incredible moment for me. Like, I remember that day, like looking, like all of a sudden I knew how many people were coming, and I knew exactly where they were coming from. I mean, I could pinpoint them, you know, in the region of the state that they were visiting from.
Yeah. So it's like an aha moment.
Oh yeah. And it was super cool. And then there would be days where, you know, I would go in and like break everything because I'd be trying to code some things or like add some buttons, and they'd show up like, you know, 10 times larger than they were supposed to be. But yeah, like that's kind of when the wheels started turning and I realized that like, that's what I wanted to do. So I loved working and living in Egypt, but I just decided that working in the nonprofit industry just wasn't something that I wanted to continue with. So when my time there was done, I came back to the US and I knew that I enjoyed like the content, the analytics part of it. And one of my friends worked in marketing and she said, oh, like, you know, you would be a great fit for this if those are the things that you're interested in.
Yeah.
And so I started looking into marketing jobs and yeah, that's how I got started.
Okay. And then, so how did you get started with Conklin Media? Was that the job that you settled with after you got back from Egypt?
No. So before this, my first introduction to marketing, like career-wise, was actually in doing some reputation management.
Okay.
So that's kind of, you know, it's SEO, but it's a different type of SEO.
Right.
So I do feel like it was a good introduction because, you know, you had to learn basic search engine optimization, just like the importance of link building, and then content writing was also huge. And then yeah, some really basic things like website design and the like. So I felt like it was, you know, a good introduction to a little bit of everything, but I really knew that I wanted to focus like especially on SEO and not necessarily in a reputation management capacity, but something more traditional.
Gotcha.
So yeah, started looking at other marketing groups in the area, and that's how I ended up at Conklin.
Cool. And then, so how is Conklin? How do you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
Oh, so one of the biggest things for us is, rather than say like we're kind of a traditional marketing agency, we talk about ourselves as a business growth agency because really at the end of the day, I mean, that's what we are all about. Like things like, you know, engagements or even getting up in the rankings for SEO, like those are not the end all be all. Like what we want for our clients is ultimately to help them grow and to become more profitable. So like, we're not just going to show them, you know, charts of the number of keywords that we're ranking for. We're going to pick out the keywords that are going to be most profitable for them. And like really track ones like those. And then, you know, once we get that up there, we keep digging into, you know, other keywords. So
that's so cool.
It's something really cool to be part of. We just partner with like so many cool businesses, everything from like a group that just started that sells bulk foods to it's like a smaller printing company. So it's a really nice variety. And yeah, I feel like I've just gotten to meet such interesting people.
Oh, that's so cool. All right. Well, let's delve into our topic. So we're going to be talking about setting your team up for success through onboarding today. So why is it so beneficial to have a streamlined onboarding process when you're bringing on new hires?
Oh, it's important for so many reasons. the first one is just consistency. I mean, you want everyone who enters the company to learn the same things and just be on the same page, because that's really what's going to, you know, steer you as you progress in the future. And then it really only benefits you to spend a lot of time on the onboarding process and just make sure that people are set up for success. I mean, your team is as good as all the people on it. And sometimes I think we get stuck in the mentality of like, oh, like, you know, we're only good as the weakest link. But I mean, that's one way of approaching it. But I really think that like, it's cooler to look forward and think like we are the accumulation of everyone's different strengths here. So we really want to put them in an environment where we can, you know, really hone those strengths so they can continue to grow.
That's awesome. And then can you walk us through what your onboarding process looks like for new employees?
So it varies like a little bit by department, and there is some flexibility because we are a smaller company. But we had a new hire start recently, and, you know, first you have all the paperwork, everything like that, answering any questions. And then one of the things we do is introduce them to like our project management system. So we track like all our time working on projects just so we're able to have the most accurate numbers possible for, you know, our clients and just internal purposes too.
Okay.
So that's a pretty big step. And then the next one is an introduction to the work that they're going to be doing. And that I break up into like several different chunks. Talk about like client communication for one of them. I probably spend the most time on just content creation, and keyword research is huge. We've developed some internal tools to help us with that too. So just showing people how to use those, run through them. And then another one that I really try and go over is just like all the different resources that we have here.
Okay.
Because I've started at different companies before where, you know, you don't have like a list of all the resources and you're banging your head against the wall or doing something one way and it's just not the most effective. And then it's months later where you're like, oh, we have access to that, or I could have been doing it that way the whole time.
Yeah. And then, so where would you store all those, like the SOPs and stuff like that, so that they can easily access that?
Yeah. So they take the form of, or they take a few different forms. Like we have some that are just documents, some that are, you know, spreadsheets with all the links we need. We also do a lot of videos, whether that's it's cool. Like short Loom videos, and put everything on Vimeo.
Nice.
And that's something that I've been doing a lot, especially this time around, because I realized just how beneficial it is to sort of have a directory of all this information.
Totally.
And I think it also helps because we're a hybrid company and some people are working remote and some in office. Sometimes it's just easier to take a short video of you doing a task and walking them through it, upload it, than, yeah, trying to get everyone in the office at the same time. I mean, it can be a little bit like herding cats. So.
So are you the one who kind of walks through the onboarding process with the new hire?
Yeah. So there's some things like our project management system, our account manager, she does a lot of the assignments there. So she'll be the person to walk them through that.
Okay.
And then one thing that I have started doing, especially this time around, but I'm really excited about, is just setting up a time for new hires to meet with the different department heads.
Okay.
Because I think sometimes when you start a new job or industry, you don't know what you don't know at first, at the very
100%.
Beginning.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times, you know, you don't know what questions to ask during those initial trainings.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, there's some questions I can answer, but there's also some questions I can't. And I really want to equip them with the knowledge of who to go to for specific questions, as well as just make sure everyone's on the same page. So the new hire, she works in content, and I set up a meeting, this is an example, with our head of design. And it was awesome because I came into it, just wanted to do an introduction, and I asked our designer to also talk about sort of the role that content plays in design and vice versa, and just sort of how to write for the designs that she creates and just like UX in general. And she put together like this fantastic PowerPoint presentation for us, walked us through like different types of content for landing pages, blog posts, and, you know, just ran through the things that we can do to make our designers' jobs easier when we're creating our content.
Yeah. Well, that's so cool. And then, so how long does this onboarding process usually last for? Is it like a couple of days? Is it a week?
Yeah. So normally right now it's kind of about a week, and it's very broken up because, you know, sometimes our writer is just writing the pieces of content that she's assigned.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times, you know, we're having meetings with people in other departments or just one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and not do everything all at once. So it's 3 days of just staring at a Zoom screen and you're just exhausted. And
yeah.
I also like, you know, assigning a few initial projects so they have something to sink their teeth into, especially because, you know, during those first couple weeks of starting a new role, I found that there's just lots of downtime where you don't know what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So having a few projects, even if it's just like looking into clients, doing a little research and slowly chipping away at that, it's just a great way to spend the time. And then I also, as we talked about earlier, I mean, you have to keep up with current trends in order to stay relevant. So I'm always reading articles about content and SEO, and I've just created like a list of ones that I found especially helpful and that I think would be beneficial for people just starting out. So then there's also a few articles that I'll send their way so they can read in that downtime as well.
Oh, okay. Very good. So are there any specific tips or strategies you found to be helpful when introducing a new member to your team, just to help them get familiar with the work environment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, and it's going to sound so silly, but it's just attitude is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into it with a super positive attitude is, I mean, it's contagious. It's really going to set the tone for, you know, their time at the company. And I think
Is that like you having a positive attitude or them having a positive attitude?
So me having a positive attitude, and I found that that really wears off on, you know, the people that I'm working with, the new hires that I'm introducing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's just contagious. It's going to set the time or the tone for their time there. And then I found it just helps me too. I think sometimes when you're onboarding a new person, it's easy to look at it as like a chore and something you don't want to do because you already have so much other work that you have to do.
Yeah.
Like I know in the past in my previous role, the previous organization, I've had a lot of people shadow me, and sometimes it was too overwhelming, and you know, I felt frustrated. And now it's like, I find it so exciting just because I love talking about SEO and content. So I selfishly love having a captive audience. So like that part is fantastic. And yeah, just I found that the more time you spend, you know, in that initial couple weeks getting them up to speed, just it really sets them up for success.
That's awesome. And then so with regards to setting your team up for success, how do you ensure that all team members are on the same page when it comes to the deliverables?
Yeah, so one thing, and this kind of plays into just meeting with different departments, it's a good time to just sort of have a refresher for everyone involved. New hires, you know, current members of my team, again, like people working in other departments, of just like our standards and different practices that we have. So one thing that I did is put together a list of everything that needs to be in every piece of content before it goes to anyone in the design teams or the development teams.
Okay.
You know, just making sure like title tags, meta descriptions, images, image alt text. I mean, the list goes on and on. And, you know, it's so handy to have a resource where we can actually check things off, and it just makes sure that everybody is on the same page.
Definitely. Cool. And then, so how do you resolve any conflicts that may arise on your team, or encourage team members to come to you if they are seeing an issue that needs to be addressed?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it just goes back to that attitude and being approachable. Like, I want everyone on my team to know that I'll make time for them and that they're a priority.
Well, that's good. So what are some mistakes that you see other digital marketers are making when it comes to onboarding new team members?
Two things. And it's like, I think that onboarding someone is sort of, it's a spectrum, because on one hand, you can onboard somebody way too fast and just throw them into things. And I know like some people like the sort of like sink or swim or trial by fire mentality. It's kind of like, you know, diamonds are formed under pressure, but I don't think that's necessarily the healthiest way to go, or in that it's going to set, you know, a really good standard for like the future.
I think so, it's overwhelming for a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's like one mistake that I've seen. It's just like that sheer overwhelm. But then on the other side of the spectrum, and this is, you know, something else that happens, is you have training for like a couple of weeks and it's too long. Your new hire wants to get a project that they can start, so they can actually feel like they're part of your organization instead of just someone, you know, kind of kept on the outskirts and doing like endless shadowing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's really good advice. Is there anything else you'd like to add that you have noticed has been beneficial when setting your team up for success?
I think really the biggest thing for me has just been that communication with other departments. Even though, you know, my team member isn't necessarily going to be working with them all the time, there's so much overlap that, you know, sometimes we don't think about. So our newest hire is working in content, but I had her meet with the paid department, because when you think about it, like she'll be doing some landing pages for paid ads on Facebook. So it's really important for her to have a basic understanding of how those paid ads are going to work.
Yes, definitely.
Same thing for design. And then even like our development team, like understanding what we need to do in our content to include and to that we then pass on to them, so that, you know, they're not going to have to waste any time like reaching back out for answers, going back and forth. And that's been huge. And what's probably been most exciting for me is just seeing how well all my team members in different departments have responded. Like, it's something they've genuinely been excited about.
That's awesome.
And I love that.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. So where do you see Conklin Media headed? Where do you see Conklin Media in 5 years' time?
Yeah. I mean, so we want to grow, but we want it to be like a very sustainable growth. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to get to the point where we're so big that we're not, you know, paying the best attention possible to our clients.
Yeah.
And I know, like, we also love having a team on the smaller side, just because it's allowed us to really get to know each other and be, you know, pretty closely knit. And again, just not be siloed off in our individual areas of expertise.
Yeah. Okay. Very exciting. So how big is your team at this point?
So it varies, and it's interesting because we have people in-house, and then we also have freelancers that okay. we use when we do, you know, get a little bit bigger, because sometimes you're caught in the middle between, like, you don't have quite enough work to justify hiring someone else, but you also don't want to run the risk of burning out your current team.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
just been something that I've found so valuable, is just that ability to get help when we need it.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, like, we have a great network of freelancers too, and ones that, like, are familiar with some of our clients and that we know that we can count on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, like, kind of in-house, we have, like, about 10 people.
Okay, that's awesome. And then you've got some freelancers on the side as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. And then, so do you guys serve typically your local Pennsylvania small businesses, or are you more serving remote businesses from, like,
across the US? So we have a little bit of everything. Like, we have, okay. you know, some small local businesses, and then we have global businesses.
Cool.
We have B2B, we have B2C, we have e-commerce.
You've got a good mix.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It keeps it interesting. Like, even, you know, in the content department, like, we could be writing about robotics one day and, like, dog training the next. So I love it. I love the variety.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Awesome. Well, okay. So now we're going to move on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions.
All right.
So tell us, what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh man. So one of my goals for this year was to read a book a month. Like, when I was younger, I was such an avid reader, and it's something that I've really been wanting to get back into, and I've done pretty well. I think I'm at like 9 books. But probably one of the ones that I've read that has made the biggest impact lately is John Acuff's Finish.
Okay.
It's just sort of, a guide of setting more realistic goals and then actually accomplishing those goals.
Okay. Very good. That's I haven't read that one. I will definitely have to check that out.
No, it's really good. And he's a very clever and witty writer too. So, like, not nice. Only is it fantastic information, but it's also just fun to read.
Okay, good. Good to know. I have a list of books that I have to read that is just, I'm sure you can imagine.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Podcast guest book to recommend.
I have, like, the notes app on my phone. It just seems like, you know, every week I'm like, oh, I have to read that book. And yeah.
Yeah, I do the same. And then what does your morning routine look like?
So normally what I try and do in the mornings, and daylight savings has made this so much more difficult, mm-hmm. but get up pretty early and go play tennis before work.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I had never played tennis in my life until like this last spring, but it's just mm-hmm. something that's been really fun. Like, I feel like I'll always say that I'll get up and go to the gym, but the gym is not fun. Playing tennis is. So, like, that small difference has just, I mean, it's been huge. I just love being active before I actually start work, because I feel like I can sit still for longer periods of time then, which is, you know, very helpful.
Yeah, I feel like having that exercise, it really energizes you. And it's controversial, but I think you could replace coffee with exercise and you will still get that energy boost.
I think so too. And just eating breakfast before work too is also huge.
Yes.
I mean, I get it. Sometimes I'm in such a rush that I skip it. But, like, again, it's so much easier to focus on work when your stomach, like, isn't growling, and I'm less hangry and a more pleasant person to be around.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge advocate for eating breakfast. I cannot focus or think properly without breakfast.
Right.
Yeah. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, I would say one that I follow is Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx. Just, I love
cool
just sort
story.
Of her. Yeah, the story behind it is awesome. And I just love, she just radiates positivity, which is just really cool. And generosity too. I mean, just like the latest story about her, like, getting so many employees flight tickets was cool.
Yeah.
And it's just something that, you know, I would hope that I radiate positivity and just energy and generosity. I just I think it's great. I feel like so many CEOs, it's like they hustle for the sake of hustling. So just, I don't know. I love the joy that she brings.
Love that. And then what is your favorite online tool?
There are so many.
So many.
Especially in like the SEO and content realms. It's like, you know, are countless ones. But one that we've started using somewhat recently and that I just find super cool is an AI writing platform.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I've had another guest mention that before.
Yeah.
Which one do you use?
So I use conversion.ai.
Okay.
And it's been fantastic. I was so skeptical at first.
Yeah.
Especially since I have a background in like writing. It's like, oh no, the robots are coming for our jobs. Like it's all over. But it's actually been great. I tell people that, you know, you're guiding it and rewriting it as you go along and you kind of have to train it a little bit. So I would say it writes maybe 40% of the content and you're writing 60%, but like still that's 40% that you don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
And like, again, you've got to be careful with it. You have to fact check everything, you know, and you still need to run some, like I run it through Grammarly, some plagiarism testers, and I've actually never had any problems with it.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's wild. I would say my favorite part of it is just like, it helps me get over writer's block.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can imagine.
Even if I'm rewriting all the content it writes, like at least I'm getting started with something and I have just a way to get words on the page. I mean, that in and of itself is huge.
Yeah. That's so cool. I know. That's like, it's so cool to see where technology is headed.
Yeah. Like just clicking, you know, the commands to make it go and then just seeing something start writing paragraphs on your screen. I mean, it's absolutely wild.
Yeah, so cool. Okay, and then last question, what is one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think the biggest thing for me is to just have a non-work related hobby.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Because I mean, when I first started, like I have always loved reading and writing, and that's, you know, kind of what I ended up doing. But I found it was so difficult to like write all day for work, be staring at a computer screen and then be done with work and just go back to staring at a computer screen and doing more writing.
Yeah.
So that was just really challenging. I mean, even though it was something I loved, it was already, I was already doing, you know, way too much of it. And yeah. So sort of since then, like I've just started investing more time in hobbies that have nothing to do with what I do for work. So like I have always loved horses and I did a lot of riding when I was younger and it's something I've gotten back into somewhat recently. And it's just been so much fun and just so nice to, you know, not be on a computer screen and just outside doing something that I love. So I really do wish I would have known that earlier because I think there was also pressure to just be honing your skills, your work-related skills outside of work.
Yeah.
That I think.
Very true.
Yeah. It's just, it's tough. And it's been so nice to just have something to look forward to and just get outside and do that's not related to, writing or SEO or anything like that.
Yeah. No, I think that's really great advice. You've got to have that balance in your life. So it's super important. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sarah. It's been really great chatting with you, and I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.